Let's pray. And would somebody grab me a cup of water and bring up here for me? Lord, we want to meet you. We've seen the world and we don't like it. We know it's ugly. We know it's full of sin and demons are everywhere, dear God. Satan is cruel. Lord, we know the leaders of the world hate you. They conspire together against your anointed. Lord, we know that we face an enemy beyond our imagination. And Lord, we are weak. We're scared. We have no strength. Lord, we need a supernatural God to intervene and to help us in our time of need. Lord, we need you to help us as we preach. We need you to help us to pay attention, to listen. We need you to convict our hearts. We need you to speak to us. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you give us a hearing. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. If you turn to Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. We'll read a verse, just a couple of verses. And basically this is telling us, these verses are telling us why we need the armor of God, why we need it. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand firm. Could you imagine being in Ukraine right now? I mean, your whole world changes all of a sudden. People are fleeing their homes, they're fleeing their cities, they're trying to take refuge and Romania and Poland, and they're getting out of the cities. And the fear of death, or losing a child or a loved one, your young men being drafted, having to pick up arms, old men are volunteering to fight. And there's already a lot of casualties, civilian casualties. It's a terrifying thing to think about war, to think about fighting. It puts things in perspective because you have problems in your life, and your problems, when you think about it, are really not that big of a problem. We can complain about first world problems, complain about this not working right or that not working right. Our brakes are going out on our car, and I'm going, this is not good timing. But that's the complaints we have. That's the problems we have. But you need to realize that you're in war. Just because we're over here in America doesn't mean we're not in battle. We have an enemy that makes Russia and Putin look tame. You have an enemy that hates you. and it hates your Savior and hates everything about you. You have an enemy who would love to destroy you, to shift you, to bring you down, to get you to look at things online that you shouldn't look at, to ruin your testimony, to ruin your witness. You have an enemy that is doing what he can to take control of your life, to wreck your life, to destroy you. And the problem is you don't care. I mean, you don't really think about being at war. You're at peace. You're worried about buying something, or you're worried about this or that. And you don't realize that as you're sleeping, the enemy is crafting a scheme against you. And you think, I'm not that important. I'm just a little fella. I'm just a little Christian. The devil is not concerned about me. Well, he's already won one battle. He's got you thinking that you're irrelevant. He's already got you thinking that he's not thinking about you. We are told to be strong in the Lord. We are told that how we're to be strong in the Lord is to put on the whole armor of God. We have to equip ourselves for battle because we are in battle. In fact, there's three reasons why we need to put on the whole armor of God in this text. Three reasons why you need to protect yourself. One, as you are, you're unprotected. You're weak. You're left exposed. And you have no strength of your own to fight. Two, you're outmatched. Three, you've got to fight. It's not optional. You've got to fight. Now, I've been contemplating a lot about D-Day and World War II. I have my wife's grandfather, both of her grandfathers fought on D-Day. And I could imagine when you're in that landing craft with 36 or 35 other men that you're going, I wish I could go home. It is said, especially on the first and second wave, that the bullets were hammering the landing craft gate, the disembarkment ramp that let them out. And they were aiming all the bullets right there at the front of the boat. One account says it was like a typewriter, the sound of it. And imagine it, you're in that boat. What do? Well, newsflash. Every one of you is in a battle right now. There's not going to be rest until you go home to be with the Lord. And until then, you have to fight. But you're not equipped to fight. You're weak. That's the first point. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of His might. This is a command for those of us who are weak to be strong. It's implied that we do not have the strength that we need. You may say to yourself, I'm strong. Not for this battle. Not for this enemy. Do you know the greatest angel? If you could usher in the greatest angel, Michael, who's the archangel, even he says, I can't do this. And Jude, it talked about him contending with Satan over the body of Moses. And even the best angel we have says, I can't do this. Satan's greater than I am. I'm outmatched. And if that is Michael, who are you? Who are you to fight this enemy? He's like a lion. He's prowling around. He's in your living room. He's in your bedroom. He's most definitely in your television. He's on your computers. He's there watching. He's prowling. He's waiting. He's seeking to destroy you, to devour you. Who do you think you are? You think you can outmatch him? In fact, if you think you're strong, you're very weak. It's your self-confidence that makes you vulnerable. It's your self-confidence and pride that makes you easy target for Satan. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 talked about all the glorious things that he had been revealed to him by God. And he says, unless I become conceited and arrogant. In fact, he says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. What this was, we're not for sure. We just know this. It humiliated Paul. It did not bring him pride. It took away pride. It's not the type of thorn you want. I don't think it was just a weakness of the eye. Maybe. Poor sight, maybe. I doubt it. Though he probably did have poor vision. This is something that was humiliating to him. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. And this is what Paul says. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. See, this thorn of the flesh exposed some weakness in him. It manifested something that he would rather keep hidden. So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. All these things were brought upon him to humble him and to take away pride, take away conceit and self-confidence. It's to bring him low. And thank God for the thorns of the flesh that make you aware of your own weaknesses. Thank the Lord for trials that take you to your knees. Because if you're not on your knees, Satan is definitely ready to get you. Paul says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. If you think you're strong, you're not. In fact, the Bible says it this way. If you think you're strong, you're about to fall. Because wherever there is pride, there is going to be a fall. In fact, pride, you've already lost the battle. Satan's already got in. He's already tricked you. It's vainglory and it's just not true. Let it be known. You and I, all of us put together, are nothing. We can't do this. The Christian life is hard. Battling against Satan is impossible in the flesh. Think about how difficult it is just to forgive someone. Forgiveness is, if you really understand what forgiveness is, and if you've really been hurt, then you understand it's a supernatural gift. You can't do it. You can't forgive. You want revenge. You want vindication. Holiness is impossible without God. Faith is impossible without God. Everything about the Christian life takes supernatural help to do it. There's nothing about the Christian life that you can do in the flesh. In fact, those in the flesh, the Bible says, cannot please God. This Christian life is made where you have to have the armor of God or you don't fight at all. You have to have supernatural help or you just can't do anything at all. We are weak in our prayers. Our prayers are dry, half-hearted. We don't even know how to pray as we ought to pray. You say, well, I do. No, the Bible says you don't know. That's why you need the Spirit to intercede on your behalf. The Spirit, though your prayers are dry, the Spirit will groan on your behalf. The Spirit understands the urgency of the need, even though you don't. The Spirit will groan with words that can't be uttered. It's hard to have faith. It's easy to have faith when all is well, but it's not easy when your life is being turned upside down. When you get news that you have cancer. You got news that your business is about. When you're going to lose your job or you have a wife or a husband that is talking about divorce. When you have kids that won't talk to you. Remember Peter when he got out on the water? He began to see the storm, the waves. That's us. We sink. Our faith is weak. Our courage to evangelize is almost non-existent. We're fearful. We're afraid. Are we not? I mean, admit to it. I will. I'm afraid to witness. And I'm no good at praying. Every time I preach, I have to fight so many crazy thoughts in my head. I'm like, where are these thoughts coming from? Whoa. I need help. You need help to even listen to me. We need help. I mean, this is the point. We need the armor of God. We need it. Finally, be strong, not in yourself, not in self-confidence. Be strong, be mighty, be full of strength, be full of courage, be fearless, but not in yourself. Be strong in the Lord. Be full of strength, not in your own strength, in your own might, but in the strength of His might. I need His strength. I need it to just get from week to week, from trial to trial, from one temptation to the next. I need strength. Well, where do I get it? The armor of God. That's the first reason we need the armor of God is we're weak. We're exposed. We're incompetent. We can't fight. We need supernatural help from the outside. Secondly, we see this in verse 11 and 12. We are outmatched. We need to recognize it too. It doesn't do us any good to think that we're strong and we can handle this. We need to realize that. Now, I know you can say, with the Lord, there's more with us than with them. But you take the Lord away, then there's more of them than us. We're outmatched. First of all, when we're talking about being outmatched, we're outsmarted. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes, the craftiness, the planning of the devil. We are constantly underestimating our enemy. Outside of Jesus Christ, Satan is the greatest general the world has ever seen. He's the prince of darkness, the ruler of this age. He's a thief, Jesus says in John 10, that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's ruthless. He has no mercy. He is a lion that prowls around looking for someone to devour. The word devil means slanderer. He's accuser of the brethren. And Satan doesn't just attack us on the fly. He's not making these things up as he goes. He's scheming against you. He's planning, plotting. And he's full of wisdom. Or he's smart. He's crafty. He's sly. He studies his victims. Finds out their weaknesses, then knows how to come in and tempt you at the right time to get you to fall. Some of you may be kindling a little bit of a romance with a co-worker. I promise you it will not end well. You think it's innocent. You think you could just flirt a little bit because it feels good. Satan is so crafty. He's so sly. Some of you have little bitty sins that you're committing on the side. They're little things, right? They're not that big. And a lot of you, not a little bit of you, but a lot of you are full of covetousness. You're unsatisfied with the things of this world. And you think so little about such sins. But you don't realize Satan is behind it all. He's scheming against you, and he will use anything to entrap you. If slander doesn't work, he'll use flattery. Hezekiah was an amazing king. In fact, he's one of my favorite kings of Israel or Judah. Hezekiah stood against the Assyrians. He was outnumbered by the Assyrians. Hezekiah prayed the most amazing prayers in all the Bible. He says, I don't know what to do, but my eyes, I'm looking to you, God, and you're my only help. And if you don't come through, we're toast. You know, he won that battle, that temptation. Satan didn't get him there. But you know how Satan did get him? Not with the Assyrian army, but with the gifts of the Babylonians. Flattery. He got sick, got better. The Babylonians came in and praised him and brought him gifts and spices. And he showed them everything. And next thing you know, that was the cause of the judgment upon Judah. Satan knows how to get you. He doesn't play fair, by the way. He doesn't play by rules. There is absolutely nothing off limits. He'll pretend to be your friend. He'll pretend to be an angel of light. He'll pretend to want your best interest, only to stab you in the back. He doesn't play nice at all. Satan, he'll play the long game. He can destroy a church not by an instant attack. He may put his plants in, his molds, his agents, and wait for years to activate them. Where you get to trust them, love them, and next thing you know, Satan enters into them to destroy the church. You say, well, that's not fair. I know. Nothing he won't try to do. He uses tricks. He uses temptations that he hides with glamour, glitter, even goodness. Even Bible verses, he will disguise his evil behind. Even good behavior. You can't out-scheme Satan. You can't out-craft him. He's 10 steps ahead of you. You're outsmarted. But not only are you outsmarted, you're out-armed. And it goes on to say in verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." We forget that the battle is not on neutral playing field. We are fighting a spiritual battle that we're simply ill-equipped to fight. It'd be one thing if we was fighting in the flesh, and we know about, well, okay, I know how to fight that way. You slander, I slander. You hurt, I hurt. We can fight that way. But he's not fighting on a neutral playing field. Our weapons cannot be of this world. Right now, our seminary is under a lot of attacks from the slanderer. Our faculty is under attack. I personally am under attack. It's brutal. It's brutal to have your reputation slandered. A good name is to be coveted. But Satan will take it. He'll take your good name. And he'll have people believe it. How do you fight that type of battle? How do you fight slander? The flesh says, if they slander me, I'll slander back. Tit for tat. But we can't war like that. When they revile us, we're called to bless. Now that's hard. One of the hardest things has been for my life is to pray for my enemies. I don't think I've ever had enemies until this year. I didn't know what it was to have enemies. But men who I think actually do not like me and would prefer I was silenced. To have my books eradicated from the face of the earth. It's been the hardest thing. Hard for me to not just mouth the words but actually mean it. Lord, bless that person. Bless them. Be with them. And really mean it in your heart. The Bible says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For this is what you're called to do. This is the war we're in, and it's very difficult to wage. We're not battling with flesh and blood. We're battling with a greater force behind the flesh and blood. God, Satan will use flesh and blood to hurt you. He'll use your kids to hurt you. He'll use your family to hurt you. He'll use everybody around you to hurt you. But it's Satan behind all of it. We're outnumbered. We're not just outarmed and outsmarted, we're outnumbered. Look at verse 12. It says, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers of this present darkness. I mean, I don't know what all this means. It could be ranks of demonic powers and one rank is higher than the other. That's probably what it means. But whatever it means, there's sure a lot of them. There's not just a few demonic spirits out in the world. You have Satan at the top. You got rulers. You got authorities. You got cosmic powers. I mean, we know that there's legions of them. And you go, well, that's Bible time. Satan's not around anymore. Demon's not around. Okay, he's already tricked you. We're outnumbered. Especially, I mean, the Lord told us that the way to heaven is narrow and few who are those who find it. I mean, we're outnumbered. The problem with slander, especially on the age of social media, you can't answer all of it. There's just too many of it. They pelt you in all directions, and you don't have time. You don't have the energy. You don't have the ability to defend yourself. It's just coming in all directions, and you're just outnumbered. Most importantly, we're outpowered. Look at verse 12. Against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. If Michael didn't dare stand against the prince of darkness, who are we to stand against him? We are setting ducks. We're really easy targets. Now you may want to think, well, let's just hunker down. Let's get in a bunker. Let's find a foxhole. Let's hide. Let's just stick to ourselves. Let's find a little area out in the woods and just get off the grid. Get offline. Get off the grid. Get off interacting in this evil, dark world. Let's hide. No. No. Be strong. Gird up your loins. Not in your own self-confidence. Be strong. Let's fight. Because we have to fight. We must fight. Not in our own strength, but let us equip ourselves in the full armor of God. And let's take the battle to them. Let's storm the gates of hell. Let's take the Word of God with us. And let's go out with our King and go out and conquer. We must fight. Wives, mothers, you're discouraged. And your battle doesn't seem glorious. Because it's wrapped up in mounds of laundry and kids and homeschooling. Feeling lonely, feeling all kinds of weird thoughts. It's a battle. You're in a battle. It's not just the missionaries that are in war. Every one of us are on the front lines. You're on the front lines of this. And you must fight. Look at verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. And this is why it's a command. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, verse 11 says. That ye may be able to stand. Stand against temptations, against slander, against discouragement, against loneliness, against Satan himself. Resist the devil in the strength of God, and he will flee from you. Fear not. For I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Yes, Satan is greater than we are, but I know someone greater than Satan, and he's with me. No, I'm with him. Let's pray. Lord, we eagerly wait to see what this armor of God is. We want to know how to put it on. We want to wear it. We don't want to be caught without it. The enemy is great. He's real. We've experienced the blows. We've experienced the scars. But Lord, we don't want to stay down. We want to get up. We want to advance. We want to take the truth into the darkness. Lord, you promised that you would be with us until the end of the age. Go before us. Put a hedge around us. Give us the courage, the strength, the bravery, the hope to fight the good fight of faith. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen.